Hello and welcome to a podcast brought to you by The Religion of Aston Villa.
We're a social media account on Twitter and Facebook that wants to get our voices out there and heard, so please join us. Hello guys and welcome to another episode. I'm back with Callum and we have slightly changed how we do our podcast just to try and streamline. Quite a trendy word to use. Basically, we're going to do the reviews, previews and anything's happening this week all in one. If anybody signs or, you know, we do like the games, like the wiki games that Callum loves to get beat at. anything like that, we will be doing separately. It's just everything that's happening, like for that week, we're going to stick them into one episode so you haven't got to keep scrolling between, you know, two or three different podcasts. So we're going to do review, preview, any news like transfer talk, especially being the window, and any other news. Just before we start, myself has kind of been speaking to a guy who's got his own website called avfchistory.co.uk. And he's very kindly put our podcast and our shop will be on there soon as well. So if you, like I say, you can listen to our podcast on all the main platforms, your Spotify's, your Apple Music's, but now it is going to be on there as well. So you can listen to it as you browse through his website. He's got a lot of things on there. Like he's got the programs, stats, player comparison, team comparisons. It is, like I say, he's just starting out and he's just getting up to speed with everything. But yeah, he's very kindly put us on there. So yeah, avfchistory.co.uk if you want to have a quick check out on that. Going into it, I mean, into the Man United game, I mean, the lineup, what do you think? Because obviously there was coming a couple of changes, obviously, off the back of the FA Cup, obviously, Luka Dean making his debut. So what do you think?
No surprises for the lineup, really. I did see a lot of people being like, oh, Coutinho can start. And it's just like, it wasn't going to happen. He wouldn't have been able to last like 60 minutes. It was, you know, I did think we were quite light on the bench, though. You know, we had Hayden, Ingram and you know, Chukwuemeka and Archer. So you've got four youth players on the bench. There's actually no wingers on the bench, technically, if you don't count Young or Coutinho as a wide player, even though they both can play there. So I thought possibly the substitutions later in the game might not benefit us. But, you know, it turned out that the substitutes were the helping hand we needed in the end. So, you know, next time I won't be so judgy, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, like the lineup, I mean, as you said, Coutinho, I'm pretty sure I saw something about him not playing first team football, well, obviously since last year. But it was, you know, about what was it, mid-December, something like that. And then Luka Dean not playing since Boxing Day, I believe it was. So obviously, I thought Luka Dean will probably come straight in. Coutinho not playing that much longer and just getting over COVID. There was no way he was going to start as well. I knew he was going to get minutes because obviously they want to get that a round of applause in and all that as they do. But obviously, he was the game changer in all fairness. But it was good to see Sanson start as well. Like I say, it was a shame that he hasn't been able to get much minutes due to injuries and COVID and all that side. So it was good to see him get his first start in a world too. Going into the first half, obviously, we'll have to talk about it. The Bruno goal, the Martinez mess up. I'm going to give credit where it's due because I do slate our fans. Sometimes they can get on the back of somebody too quickly. But there was not that I saw anybody at all give Martinez grief for his mistake, which was, I've never not known that. Yeah, he was very poor. He was a day. It was a save that he'd make 99 out of 100. But it was a poor mistake. So, I mean, what do you think? Because I saw a few people blame like the defense and stuff. And I was like, no, that it literally all falls on to Martinez.
I think United were clever with the tactic on the free kick, something different. It's a ball that's got a lot of curl on it that Martinez is expecting a touch. Maybe he's thinking, I think it was Cavani who went to try and touch
yeah.
it. Next. Maybe he's thinking Cavani's going to get a touch. And then when he doesn't, he's got to react really late. And unfortunately, he doesn't react in time. And, you know, it bundles in somehow. You know, he'd have been devastated with himself. And we can't say that there's been so many mistakes from Emi Martinez, you know, since his time at Villa. So, and he's kept us in games more than he has, you know, made mistakes to put the game against us. So it probably helped how it was in the fifth minute. You know, I mean, to start off with, we were poor first half anyway. It doesn't matter about that goal or not. We didn't start well at all. You take the goal out of it, we still were poor. Put the goal into it, you know, it makes things a lot worse. We had 85 minutes left until, you know, to get an impact or to, you know, try and get something out of the game. But first half, you know, the big talking point would have been the mistake. United were the better team in the first half. I don't think we created many chances. The Brendier, was it the Brendier header?
Yeah,
that's saved by De Gea. It was Villa's first chance, and that was the 35th minute. I think the last 10 minutes of the first half, we finally got into about, I don't know, third gear, maybe second gear, and we finally was looking somewhat dangerous. But for the rest of the half, it was poor. And, you know, we also that, oh, it's not United's best team. They're in a dip. Manager's not that great. It's still Man United and they've still got some world-class players in that team. And they will punish you. And luckily, it was only 1-0 because there's a few chances where it did go quite close. So going into half-time at 1-0, it was definitely deserved. And they must have got a bollocking off Gerrard in the dressing room because it all changed second half.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, you can't slate Martinez. He could have let three in and he'd still be in credit with how much he saved us since he's coming to Villa. He's been phenomenal. And I think he'll learn from his mistake and probably not be so lapsy-daisy and lack of concentration. I think he'll be on it now and I think it'll just make him a better keeper because, yeah, it was just poor, but, you know, he's done a lot more than that. Like you said, it's not very often we're going to say Martinez made a mistake that's caused a goal.
Well, I think
just before... Go on, sorry.
I think he put it behind him pretty quickly as well.
Yeah.
There was a save from Greenwood that he rushed out to, which was brilliant. Because if he wasn't there, you know, Greenwood has a good chance on goal, possibly a goal by the end of it. So I think it shows his mental side to try and put it behind him as quick as he can. You know, it's done and try not to make any more.
Yeah, exactly. Going into half-time, I mean, obviously a substitution was made. Looks like Konsa couldn't shake off his blow. So we come off and Courtney Howes come on, which is a big blow. I think it shows that centre-half position is now more desperate than ever now. It kind of shows you, I mean, obviously we've signed Kerr Smith, which he did a podcast on last week on, which is, like I said, it'll be in and around, but I think it might be early days to be starting straight away. So we are desperate, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in the transfer part of this podcast. Was there any other transfer? Lineup changes, mate? Any subs you'd bring on? Because for me, I pretty much would have got carried on if I wouldn't make no changes. Break yourself.
I think the one place I was possibly thinking was to take Ings off earlier. I think, I mean, we'll probably touch on it a bit more in a little bit, but I To be honest, I could probably count the amount of touches Ings had on one hand in the first half. It needed to change the system to be more of a threat and to use our our best players and our best ways to go about to win that game. And that would probably be the only change I'd have made at half time. Like you said, consequent shake off some sort of hip injury, it seems like. He could be back in time for the Everton game. At the moment, we don't know. We don't know how bad it is. But if he was able to carry on for, until half time, it can't be that bad. So hopefully he can be back, because it would be a big miss on that right side of centre back. But no, going into the second half, it probably would have been best to keep it the same, but maybe taking Ings off earlier. And yeah.
Yeah, as you said, I think Gerrard, excuse me, did make some individual, should we say, I don't want to say bollockings, but I think he probably had a word with a few players because there was a lot of coasters in that team, a lot of people not pulling the weight. Ings is one of them. I don't think Watkins was great either, if I'm honest. I thought that Lucas Digne looked very good. I thought. Sanson, obviously, I know he made a mistake for the second, which I'm about to go on to, but I thought he looked really good too, and Ramsey too. But yeah, I think there was a lot of people just being carried in that first half, and the second half, boy, was it different. It had two halves, in my opinion. I think we started off slow again, which obviously brings me to the Bruno goal, which was a silly mistake from Sanson. So what do you think of the goal? Because it was just, yeah, it was silly. It wasn't. It was just something out of nothing. And you could tell the frustration for, because pretty much what he scored in the 67th and on the 68th, Sanson was getting substituted. I'm not going to sit and say Gerrard saw the mistake and went, nope, that's it. He's gone. He's off. Do you know what I mean? I don't think that. I think it was probably already in the works because obviously Coutinho come on. So we all knew he was going to come on. But when you see Sanson walking down and kick the bottle into the crowd, he's come out and apologised. And then Gerrard apparently had a word saying it wasn't him being subbed, it was about him. Making the mistake for the goal. So what do you think?
I think the pass into him has actually put him in that position. I can't remember who played the pass to Sanson, but the way that United were pressing at times was very good, and that's how they got to the second goal. Sanson tries to play a pass to no one, and there's three United players who can get onto the end of it, So I think the pass initially to Sanson doesn't help his situation, and probably puts him into that situation. But it's a sloppy bit of passing to him, and then from Sanson to pass it into no man's land, and then we don't react, doesn't get closed down, and runners aren't watched, and then it's 2-0, and it seems like a mountain to climb at the time. And it was all against us. And I think the commentary team said that they were expecting Ings to come off, and then apparently it was changed to Sanson. So it was a quick it must have been a quick decision, unless it was because of the mistake. I don't think we'll ever know, but it kind of all worked out in the end.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, he's Coutinho come on, and it was to a rage of of applause. People just couldn't wait to see him get on the pitch. And then pretty much shortly after that, he gets an assist
Well,
for.
can I just say, when watching the game live and when posting on the Facebook page, I stated, second change for Villa, can a Brazilian magician turn the tide? And I don't want to, be Mystic Meg over here, but
It's all down to you. Yeah, definitely.
exactly, yeah.
But like I say, Danning's come off. Chukwuemeka come on. And I thought he looked very good as well. But like I say, he got Coutinho got his first assist on the 77th. Jacob Ramsey, absolute phenomenal game he was having up until that, anyways. And it was well taken. to be fair. It was a good goal. I mean, you can't. It was, yeah. There's not much really more to say. I mean, he was just. It's just been a brilliant play between Coutinho and Ramsey. You know, it was very clever. So, what do you think of the goal?
Well, it all comes about because of Mings, doesn't it? As well.
Yeah.
Mings wins the ball quite high in the Manchester United half, and then he bombs forward, gives the ball to Coutinho. It's a 1-2 with Chukwuemeka, and then Coutinho gets it back, plays it into Ramsey, and he scores. So, and I found it quite funny because someone on Twitter, like literally 2 minutes before the goal, said, "Oh, this is why we don't have Mings in the team. Get rid of Mings." And I'm just like, I still don't get why people don't rate Mings or think that he's a liability when he's doing this kind of thing for us. Because there was no, if Mings wasn't there, that goal does not happen. It was a lovely bit of play. Like you said, I thought Chukwuemeka was brilliant when he came on. I think Gerrard trying to persuade him that he's going to get game time and also trying to get him to get a new contract. Jacob Ramsey keeps improving as the season goes on. Again, probably one of his best performances so far this season.
Yeah.
Against one of the toughest teams, sorry, this season. And he doesn't also just get a goal; he gets an assist for the second, and possibly the assist is better than the goal. So I think he's come on leaps and bounds. Because at the start of the season, I thought he was a bit of a nothing player, but now he's proving why he's in the first team and why he keeps getting picked week in, week out. And hopefully it can continue and he becomes more clinical and more involved in setting up goals as well. So yeah, up to that second half performance was so much better, and it was intensified when Chukwuemeka and Coutinho came on. And I did think when we scored, I said, "Is the comeback on? Or are we back in it?" And moments later, Coutinho's at the back post poking it in. And I thought, if you watch the replay after he's put the ball in the back of the net, he nearly actually collides with the post head on. So he's done well to get away from that. And it's 2-2. Villa Park's bouncing. United aren't happy because, well, they got complacent, I suppose. And we go try ahead and try and go for the win, and it doesn't come out to be. But in the position that we were at half time, or on the 70th minute, and Coutinho scores and gets an assist, and so does Ramsey. It all changed, and I think we walk away from Villa Park a bit happier. And I think you take a point against United. If you offer you a point before the game, I think you'd take it. If you say that two of the goals that we conceded were down to our mistakes, then you'd be a bit disappointed. And I think that's the thing. We cut out these mistakes, and you could be looking at a win there. But you take the rough with the smooth, and we move on, I suppose. It was good to get some minutes into Coutinho. However, what was it? Was it 14 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, or something like that. So possibly to start against Everton, maybe he'd get a bit more minutes next time. But you know how much it means to the players. I mean, look at their reaction on social media. And Emi Martinez celebration for the second goal. To this point, I still don't know how he didn't get booked for it, but how we move. But just a brilliant second half performance, and definitely what we needed, and definitely what we deserved as well from the game. I thought a draw was a fair result.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, he's the second goal, Coutinho's was it was great to say that the goal and assist went, each way. They goal and assist, so it kind of shows you that they're already off to a great start between the youngster and I'm not gonna say the golden oldie because he's only 29, but there's a few years between them. And it was and like you say, that second half, you could have arguably said that we could have sneaked it. We could have sneaked to 3 points. But as you said that before kickoff, if someone says you take a point, you'd take it. And especially if you say you got Coutinho making a debut goal and assist on top of that, you would have definitely took that. with two hands. So it was a better second half. First half was very sluggish, and I'd say typical Villa the way it's been of late. You know, just it's just not been happening. So hopefully this can turn into something better against Everton. Going into the player ratings before we move on to Everton, can I have your player ratings, please, for your back five, including Martinez?
Martinez, six. It would have been higher if he didn't make the mistake, obviously. Then I'll go with Consor, six, because you got taken off. Mings, an eight. Digne, or is it Luka Dean? Even
Luka Dean.
Yeah, Luka Dean. I'll give him a seven, and then Cash, I'll give a six.
Martinez, a six. Cash, I'm going to go six, but it probably should be a five. I think Luka Dean showed him how you should be crossing the ball, because when he needs to improve that side of his game. Konsa, I gave a six. Mings, I gave a seven. And Luka Dean, I gave a eight. I thought it was a very good debut, to be fair. The midfield three, a Ramsey, Luiz, Sanson.
Ramsey, I'll give a nine. Luiz, actually struggling to figure out that Luiz was playing, so I'll give him a six. And then Sanson, I'll give a five, just because of the, again, the mistake.
Ramsey, annoying, man of the match for me. Luiz, I gave a six. And Sanson, I give a six. I know he did make an appalling pass, but yeah, I thought he did really well. I thought he looked proper lively, to be honest. And he started getting some good runs and passes in, bar that one. Ollie, Ings and Buendia.
Watkins, I'll give a seven. Ings, I'll give a three. And Buendia, I'll give a eight.
Buendia an eight, Ings a three, and Watkins a three. I thought they was terrible. I thought they were both very poor, and something that needs a lot of work on. Because it's just not working. We just need to just pick one or the other. It's just clearly just a position that's just getting wasted at the minute. Coutinho, Chukwuemeka, and Courtney House.
House six, Chukwuemeka an eight. And who's the other one?
Coutinho.
Oh, Coutinho, of course. 10, why not?
Courtney House a six, Chukwuemeka a seven, and Coutinho a nine. But we're not doing 0.5s, but he's just below Ramsey, who was my man of the match. Before we move on to Everton, like I said, we do a bit of work with AVFC history at Cody Kay, and he sent over quite a few little stats. I know we love a bit of a stat on these podcasts, so I'm just going to read a couple out for you. Some are obvious, some are not, but yeah, here we go. Okay, then. So that was Villa's most expensive starting lineup, £210 million, and it still cost less than Man United eight-man bench, which included two free goalkeepers at £247 million. So, yeah, kind of shows you that, you know, even though we weren't a strong Man United squad, as Ragnit was saying, with a few injuries, it's still absolutely outrageous how much money they've got. It was Luka Dean's debut, clear and obvious, after his £27 million arrival on Tuesday. And that made Jed Steers' 120th appearance as an unused sub since 2013. So, safe to say, he loves warming the bench. And that was Gerrard's 10th game in charge. So, nice couple of little stats there for you. Now we move on to the Everton game, which is the last game before deadline day. Obviously, we will do a podcast purely on deadlines, because deadline day after it, talking about our ratings of players in, coming out, going, what we think. So, you know, we'll still have a few podcasts to come and go between now and then, even though it might not be game review. So, going on to Everton, I mean, obviously, the breaking news is that, sadly, Rafa Benitez hasn't survived. So it's which is horrible because you always have that new manager or old manager, you know, who's gone, and then you have that little kick up the bum. And obviously, it's going to be Big Dunk. And obviously, you have to play for Big Dunk, otherwise, you get murdered. So,
Well, there's
no.
already talk about Graham Potter taking the job, or being
Linked.
named as one of the managers. But
That'll be a good appointment, to be fair.
I'd rather play them without a manager than with a manager.
Well, yeah, obviously, yeah. But it's still, you know, they always turn to Big Dunk, so I'm going to assume it's Big Dunk. And it's quite a weird one. I mean, obviously, like I say, just before we jump into it, but they've just sold Luka Dean to us. Got rid of a few players, brought in Al Ghazi, and now he's gone. Like he's not, you know, he's kind of been backed, and then obviously it's a poor result against Norwich, but you know, it is what it is, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, how do you, I mean, do you make any changes? How do you expect it to go? I mean, do you stick with the same? Does McGinn come back in for you? So how would you line up?
Yeah, I'd definitely have McGinn back in. I think he takes the role of what Sanson. I don't know. I also think I think you have to have droppings. It has to be the end of the Ings Watkins partnership because it showed as soon as he went off, the game changed. The only problem is who you're putting on that left side. If Coutinho can't do 90 minutes or 75 from the start. Do you push Ramsey out there and put in another midfielder, but then that will leave you short on the bench, or do you play Young on the left side? So it'll be interesting to see what he does go with. But for me, Ings would be dropped, and McGinn would probably come in for Sanson.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. You are going to play him. It is going to be, you are going to play him again. I think it could be a big game for him. I do think it's going to be interesting lineup, like you say, with Coutinho, if he's fit or not. But as soon as he's fully fit, or even if he's only half fit, he's going to get minutes. Let's be honest, because we just saw how we did against Man United. So yeah, I mean that'd probably be the obvious changes. But yeah, we've got to make a decision whether it's Watkins or Ings. It's not working with both, so one's got to be dropped. But it would not shock me at all to see them both start and Watkins out wide until Coutinho's fit, and then whoever's the lesser out, Watkins and Ings, gets dropped for Coutinho, and the other one goes through the middle. So yeah, so where do you expect to, you know, the game to go? Because thanks to avfchistory.co.uk with a couple of stats, we are unbeaten against Everton. Three wins, two draws since our return to the top flight. We've already got a 3-0 victory over them this season. So is there, you know, obviously we're a bit of a bogey team for them. So is there any, how do you expect the game to go?
It's a bit of a funny one how Everton have been this season. Obviously, with Rafa now being sacked, it could change the atmosphere in the dressing room. But they've not actually won a league game since the 6th of December. But it was against Everton, so there is that. But the last time they did win was against Hull, and they had to go to extra time to beat them, and they're in League One. At the moment, they've had some strange results, like losing 5-2 to Watford. They lost to Norwich at the weekend. And like you said, we've already played them once this season, and we beat them 3-0. So I'd like to think it would be a win. And it's these type of teams that we need to be beating, especially when they're 4 points behind us with a game in hand. So we would need a win. It should be a tough game. I think Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin will be thrown into the first team straight away, as they are back from injuries, both of them. I'm hoping that they will still be light in the midfield with the likes of Alan being out, Iwobi, Tom Davies, and hopefully the snake is not back in time. El Ghazi can't play, obviously, but he wasn't in the team anyway against Norwich, which I found interesting. It'll be interesting to see if he actually plays now, because I'm pretty sure he was more of a Rafa kind of deal and partly a deal between the Luka Dean transfer. But hopefully, if history goes with us, then we have a good record against Everton. So I'd like a win, and you never know. Luka Dean hat trick against him, no?
I'm sure Luka Dean's suspended saying that. I'm sure he is. I'm sure I saw something when I was watching after our game, and they were talking about the Everton game that he's suspended because he got a yellow against us, and I'm sure that's his
Does it go over once you've
change teams. I think he goes through the season, doesn't he?
well, technically we're past the halfway stage, so he's fine.
Oh. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I'll go with your little stat because I thought he was, but
I'm pretty sure because
we
that was
will
our
see. We'll have a little bet and we'll see what happens. We'll
I'm
see if
pretty
he's gone.
sure because he's that was the 20th game week. Or for him, it was his 22nd game week, so he should be fine.
Okay. Well, we'll soon find out.
Because
Yeah, I mean.
fantasy football says he's fine to play, so.
We'll go with that. We'll definitely go with that. I was gonna say, like, I saw something about it, and then I heard him mention it, but yeah, I didn't know if it was 100% confirmed, or like you say, whether he got shot down because of that. But yeah, I mean, going into the match itself, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens. Whether, like you said, that they've got two very good players back, which is a worry because they've definitely missed them. Obviously, every team would miss those two because they're absolutely phenomenal, but they are on a bad run. You can see why he got the sack as much as they want him to survive another week, but sadly, he hasn't. But it's going to be interesting now to see if they come alive with Rafa going or whether they carry on going into this bad slump. Hopefully, it's the latter, but we will soon find out. What's your prediction for the score? Because yeah, I can't see. I'd like us to get a clean sheet, but I can't see it. So, what's your prediction?
2-1, Luka Dean with two.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna go Coutinho and Watkins, and I think Richarlison will get a goal as well. I think he's a very, very good player. We haven't done one for a while, but we'll do one because we're doing a preview. Is build a squad or a starting 11 between the two sides. So, can I have your formation and back 4-5 or 3 or however you're playing?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm gonna play. I'll go 4-3-3.
Same as me, yeah.
Just having a look at that Everton team. If we're going off players that are fit, then it'll be Martinez, Dean, Mings, Konsa, and Cash. With a three in midfield of Doucouré, McGinn and Ramsey, and then we'll have Coutinho, Watkins, and Damari Gray.
I'd go the same. Apart from my front three, would be Coutinho, Lewin, and Watkins. That would be the only change I would do. Yeah, I think Calvin Lewin, it's a bit of a weird one, I think, with him because I never used to rate him. But then the last season or two, he's proper kicked on quite considerably. And he's proper led that line because I always just thought he was a bit of a sounds a bit harsh, but I always thought he was a bit part player. Do you know what I mean? Like I never thought he'd physically become, that main man for a Premiership side that was obviously aiming for a top eight finish. But he's really really kicked on in all fairness. So yeah, I'd definitely have Calvin Lewin over either of our strikers if I'm honest. Couple of stats to throw your way as well regarding our 11, which will be if McGinn does start or does play or even come on, that'll be his 130th appearance since joining us from Hibernian for 2.7 million, and he's turning out to be an absolute steal. I can't believe how good he is for how little we paid, and I'd love to know what his valuation. I mean, what would you value McGinn in today's market? Just as a quick question.
Well,
what would it take to get him?
I mean, it has to be a club that would be bigger than us for him to go. He's at 27, so you'd probably say peak of his powers, especially for a box-to-box type of midfielder. A website I use religiously is Transfer Market, and they currently value him at £27 million.
I think we've got more than that. I think it'll take more than that to get him.
I think it would take Villa to listen to any offer if it was around 40.
Yeah, I'd go with that. I'd say 40 million would probably get you him, if I'm honest. It's Konsa's 90th appearance as well, if he's fit and plays. Hopefully he is, and hopefully he's well. And it will be Mings' 111th appearance for us as well. So kind of shows you that the, you know, our back centre-half partnership are very well oiled, know each other very well. And to be fair, like, I know they've played a lot, but it's just when I see the stats, so it's 110, 90, 130 for McGinn, it kind of shows you they've been around quite a long time. I know when you think, like, there's, you know, 30 games in the Prem, or 28, sorry, 28 games in that, it's mad, really, when you think about that, them, you know, clocking up to, you know, like nearly one, you know, 150, century and a half amount of appearances for the club. So kind of shows you that they've been around quite a long time, and think how many players they've come and go. And in retrospect of that, Ramsey's will be his 25th start. So he's got a while to go. Going into the final stage of our podcast on the weekly roundup is any Villa related news, which can include transfers, ins and outs have been talked about, or anything just club related. So we'll go with the fun part. We'll go with the transfers. Anything you've seen or heard that piqued your interest? Because my first one, or the one that I've seen that I think a lot of Villa fans will see, is obviously about the potential arrival of a new goalkeeper, which is the guy that was on loan at Sheffield United from Roma, Robin Olsen. It's been widely reported through Birmingham Mail and everywhere that it's close, and he's had his loan cancelled at Sheffield United, apparently, and it's just the final parts of it and coming on loan. I think it's a bit of a strange one. I'm not going to sit and say that I think it's an amazing one. I mean, I saw Darren Randolph was apparently close, which I would have felt a lot better about that, because I like to have an experience number two. But by all accounts, Sheffield United fans are kind of glad to see him go. So, I mean, what would you think about it? I mean, I know it's just a number two and it is what it is, but yeah, it just feels like it's a bit left field.
I said to a few of us that I think we'd be fine for goalkeepers for this season. You keep it for this season and then, you know, you go again and look to recruit in the summer. You probably let Jet Steer go in the summer and see what happens there. You know, if Sheffield United are happy to see him go, then I don't really see why we should have him coming in. It's obviously a position for, like you said, number two. But, you know, is anything, should it, well, it's all going to be ifs and buts, isn't it? You know, if Martinez gets injured or whatever, suspended. But I just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that one. I thought we'd be fine with what we've got for the rest of the season. But that's just me.
Yeah, same. I'm not a big fan of Steer. I've made it quite clear that I think he's poor and I wouldn't trust him. But it's a bit of a random one. I mean, I'd rather wait till the summer, see who comes up, you know, if there's a better number two out there. But like I say, it is a loan, but it's kind of a weird loan to make. You know, normally, like, I like to have the loans come in for players that I'm going to improve the starting 11 or at least push them. But no one, in all honesty, that we can afford realistically can push Martinez for that number one. So I'd rather just keep it as there. If something hits the fan, then it hits the fan, and we live and die by it. But yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. Any you got?
One about an outgoing, and that's Trezeguet possibly going out to Turkey, not Besiktas, was it to Galatasaray? I think a player that Gerrard has said that would be available this window. But then if he goes, it's about if we've got enough in the tank to say, oh yeah, we're fine, and we can continue, kind of thing. So obviously, they're on AFCON at the moment, so it might be a late one for him to go, as in like it might happen on deadline day.
Yeah, well, the thing is with Trezeguet, he's got the heart of a lion, but then he's got the feet of a donkey. And it's just that if he's motivated, he's up for the challenge, you know, he'll give his all, but he's just not got that for the Premier League, you know, like I feel really bad for saying it because he just seems to give everything, and it's just a bit. It's just not enough, is he? You know, I mean, where we want to be and where we want to go, it's just he's not going to be really part of that. So I'm going to give him no, a bit like El Ghazi, I'll give him no grief if he goes. But yeah, we need something better. And the final one that I've seen us linked to, and then I'll give you the one that we haven't been linked to, but I think would be a good signing as well. And I'd be interested if anybody else agrees with it. And the one we have been linked to is Glenn Kamara, which could probably be a lazy link to Rangers. But we are looking for that defensive midfielder. I'm hoping we are looking for that defensive midfielder because we are quite short with Nakamba being out. And to be fair, we've been short since the last 3 4 years, probably since Yedinak retired. We've been short in that position. So I do like him. I do think there's better out there. But for now, and if Gerard feels he's the man and it is true that we do want him, then go get him. I mean, you got any thoughts on Glenn Kamara?
Mediocre player hyped up by Rangers, I think. I'd rather go for a player like Dennis Zakaria,
Yeah, definitely.
who I've said constantly is, you know, a much better player, and also is a high valuable player in the European kind of scene. A great player for Mönchengladbach, and you know, he's not that old. He's got a lot of years left in him. You know, one of the best players for Switzerland, and at a cut price as well. You know, I don't think there'd be anyone better out there for the value that we could buy him for, like possibly like max 10 million, if that. So, yeah, I'm always on the fence. Well, not on the fence. I'm always leaning towards Dennis Zakaria for me.
Oh yeah, definitely. Between the two, it's not even a close comparison. Zachariah is a lot better. He's going to be a big player, and he's definitely coming to the Premier League, in my opinion, or he's going to go to a very top European side or Champions League side. Look, I said beforehand about Konsa going out injured. I'd be interested to see if he plays, but it's a position that we're kind of short on, and we've not. I mean, we've got linked to Joe Gomez, but apparently that's a no-go, or whatever the case may be on that one. It's just gone all quiet. But there's a guy that we haven't been linked to, and there's definitely going to be a bidding war in the summer because he's got 6 months left on his contract. And I would genuinely go in for, I mean, I'd even go just off of the 20 million. And I'm not saying he's going to cost 20, he's probably going to cost more. But I'd go and pay 20 million from now, and that's Tarkowski from Burnley. He's got 6 months left. When he becomes a free transfer, I'm not going to sit and say he's going to be at Man City. But you know, he could, you know what they're like, that he could be sitting on their bench for all we know. But outside of the top four, he wouldn't look out of place starting. And like I say, he's got 6 months left on his deal. It does seem like Burnley are selling up players because obviously they've just sold to a relegation rival in Newcastle and Chris Wood. Yes, it was outrageous money of 25 million. He's not worth that. But at the end of the day, he does score goals for them. Important goals, but not a lot of goals. And if Burnley go down, Chris Wood wouldn't exactly be a bad signing. Yes, I understand it was a release clause that made him go, but I still think at 25 million, I think I'd have sold Chris Wood for 25 million, if I'm honest. So I don't know if Tarkowski has got a release clause or whatever, but he's not going to sign a new deal. And I'd probably think that Burnley, with the owners they've got and the situation they're in, they'd probably sell at the right price. I'm not going to say 10 million gets me because I wouldn't sell for that. I'd rather take the gamble and see if we stay up because obviously it's worth a lot more money. But if you're going off for 20 million, I could probably see him going. Is there anybody out there or any thoughts on Tarkowski?
I think he's got his eyes set on Newcastle, if I'm being honest. For centre back, there isn't anyone I can think of. Not that they wouldn't be willing. You said the likes of Joe Gomez, possibly looking at FFP if he comes in, probably hinder his move. And I don't think Liverpool would possibly give him up that easily anyway. It's definitely probably going to have to be a loan, and sharing the wages of the player, whoever it would be. But yeah, I don't know. I couldn't give you a name for centre back, that is it, anyway.
Any other positions or any players you would? I mean, obviously, I've seen us have a lazy link to Luis Suarez. Obviously, it's going to be the whole get the band back together. And I've been flying with it on Twitter, begging for him to sign. I would take him all day. I've seen a few people go, he's 34. I know, but it's just the whole circus behind it would be unreal. I don't think, obviously, it's not going to happen. But yeah, the only other player that's gonna say that's probably the most laziest link I've seen, but I'd take that. But is there any players out there you've seen linked or unlinked? I know you said Zachariah. Is that your go-to, or is there somebody out there you go, do you know what? We ain't been linked, but I'd have a go at that.
I mean, Zachariah is probably that number one, especially how it's a place that we need on the pitch. It'd be perfect for us to get someone in long term to rival all the other players in that position. So, like your Louise and your Nakamba. It seems like it's gone a bit quiet on names about who's interested in coming in. I suppose that we are trying to keep things close, trying to see and possibly leave things quite late. There isn't any other position I think that we'd need. I mean, there's possibly, I mean, to some fans' surprise, I'd even get Gilbert loan cancelled and bring him back. I know people might not agree with that and think I'll give Hayden a chance. The problem is Hayden is used to, what was it, League Two or League One. The step up is huge, and I still think Gilbert's a good player. I think we will be fine. Obviously, we need a centre back, and that's something that we will look at for our next transfer podcast. We've got some youth players in, and we've definitely got some youth players in the under 23s that are very capable, but it's that too big of a step kind of thing for them to just be put into a game and being like, oh yeah, you're playing against, I don't know, like Man City, go good luck kind of thing. So
Yeah.
yeah, I can't, what I've looked around and not seen. I mean, I've seen Gabriel Barbosa, but I don't think that will happen at all.
No.
We don't need another player in that position, and also a player that's a bit of a flop wherever he's gone so recently. So yeah, I think he's gonna I think it, we will have to it'll be a late one, and I can see us getting at least hope well, or hopefully getting one or two more players in this window.
Yeah, I mean, that brings me on to the next bit that I was going to talk about, which was Perslow's interview, which was on Sky Sports News, where he basically outright said that there's one or two bits of business to be done. Obviously, it could easily be more than that, but it does sound like we're still in the market, which is good to hear. And I'm hoping that the one to two, if it is only going to be one to two, quote unquote, then I hope Olsen being the backup keeper isn't just one of those two. Do you know what I mean? I hope there's more than that. Because for me, I do think we need a centre half. I do think we need a defensive midfielder. Obviously, like you said, Zachariah is the one that's been that you would like. There's obviously been talk of Bissouma, but I think it's going to cost what they said, like 40, 50 million. But he's got his heart set on a top four team, which obviously has gone quiet due to his assault case. Probably everyone's going to be holding off so to see what happens with that. But it still sounds like we're interested in going up against the big boys to try and get him, which, in my opinion, I think him and Calvin Phillips will be at a top four side to come the summer. So if you can get one of those two in now, obviously, I think Phillips is going to be the hardest to get out the two because he's leads through and through. But hopefully we have something coming in that position because we are crying out for that defensive midfielder just to shore it up. But yeah, like I say, it brings me to the Perslow bit where he mentioned about the incomes and outgoings. And as you said, like we are actively looking, which is good to hear. Like I say, we'll have a transfer podcast that we'll go through. And we'll talk about our ratings of players incoming and going. Because obviously probably the main one outgoing is probably what El Ghazi, would you say, in this window. And probably incoming is obviously going to be Coutinho so far. But hopefully it sounds like that podcast is going to be a few more to talk about. So is there anything else you want to talk before we go?
The unveil of the Champions of Europe Tribunal wall along the Trinity Road, walking up to the Holt End. They displayed it yesterday at the game. There's been 11 big, portrait pictures waiting, saying, "Coming soon, your ultimate 11." They've ditched that idea and gone to, celebrating the 40th anniversary of the European Cup. So I haven't seen if they've revealed anything behind the pictures, but I know they were doing it. So it'll be interesting to see what that's like because I've been to quite a lot of the Premier League grounds, and seen things that I'd like to see around Villa Park, like at Stamford Bridge. They've got around the ground, they've got, player stats, like big player stats, like you've got John Terry, Lampard, people like Drogba, Desailly, Di Canio, Zola, not Di Canio even, Zola, I mean, Arsenal, around the stadium, or even on the stadium, they've got famous quotes from players like Perez, Bergkamp, Tony Adams, and things like that. So I think that also enhances the experience of Villa Park, because when you look around the stadium, apart from the stadium itself, what is there actually there? You've obviously got the building where the old academy is, with all the posters up, like of Stilian Petrov and there's a few others. I can't remember who's down there now. I think Ron Saunders or. So I can't remember, but they're there. But like otherwise, what is there around Villa Park to look at? Obviously, I suppose you could say the McGregor statue, but that's about it. So hopefully this time they'll actually stick to what they're actually supposed to do, and not just leave it up for like a year and a half, and not do anything with it.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, like there's, I mean, obviously, Tony Gear was always talking about having a fairground put in and whatever else. But like you say, and then Randy Lerner was going to expand the North Stand and then the Villa Hotel and all this sort of stuff. And most of it doesn't come to fruition. So, it's hopefully the owners are here to stay for a long time. And then there's a lot more going on. Like I said, they're going to build that new, smaller pitch next to Villa Park for the youth players that I'm looking at and all that. I've seen that come about. But yeah, until it all gets done and dusted and we can start seeing like it become a football central, like you say, when like some of the bigger clubs do that already, it'd be quite nice to catch them up.
Because when you look at, some of the teams that are looking to expand, and I don't know if you've seen the Leicester blueprints or anything.
Yeah, I have.
The quality that they seem to be doing, unfortunately for Park is situated in a, around a housing estate, which means that there isn't a lot of
Oh, yeah.
room for us to to either build or to expand, unlike the, Leicester, where they've got space, and Everton, where they're basically building a new stadium on top of new ground as well. So, yeah, we don't want to get left behind
No.
when it comes to, in stadium engagement. Yeah, but they've got a lot of plans, like we said, the owners, and hopefully that's one of them. And we know that how much we could grow under them. So hopefully they do keep their word, and they're here for a long time, and keep on pumping the money in.
Thank you guys for listening. Like I say, we have changed the way we do podcasts, so it is kind of a weekly roundup. So it's a bit of everything involved rather than having broken down. If you don't like it or do like it, please drop us a message on Facebook or Twitter, just so we can get your feedback, because it does actually get listened to. And we do think about what people say and what people want. So please let us know what you think, if you prefer it this way. We will be back. Obviously, like I said, we've got the Everton review, which will be part of next week's weekly roundup with everything that else is going on in the world of Aston Villa. But if you do sign anybody, we will drop another podcast out between then, which would be very nice if we could get somebody in. And obviously, because we've got a bit of a big gap, we will do deadline day talks and talk about the transfers, ins and outs. And also, we'll be doing some games again. So we're doing the Wikipedia games and things like that, because we had quite a good listen, sorry, listen, and a good viewing on that. So we will be dropping another one of those. So thank you for listening. Hopefully, we didn't bore you to death. And we will see you, hopefully, after the Everton game with a good win. Thank you guys for listening. Up the Villa.